of America, VOA.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Happy Friday, and welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tunisia will take on Senegal, and Algeria will play Nigeria in North Africa versus West Africa semifinal showdown Sunday at the Nations Cup football tournament in Cairo, Egypt. The Carthage Eagles of Tunisia and the Desert Foxes of Algeria advanced to the Final Four Thursday, as we hear now from Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. Tunisia progressed to their first African Cup of Nations semifinal in 15 years on Thursday night after beating debutant and tournament surprise package Madagascar 3-0 in the quarterfinals at the Al Salam Stadium in Cairo. Tunisia will now face up with Senegal in Sunday's semifinal at the June 30 Stadium in Cairo. For the first time in this tournament, Madagascar looked really uncomfortable and were forced to passing mistakes by the high-pressing Tunisians, who seemed to have done their homework on the debutants. Another North African team, Algeria, reached the last four for the first time since 2010 after beating Cote d'Ivoire 4-3 on penalties in their quarterfinal clash on Thursday in Suez. The encounter ended 1-1 after 120 minutes with Turkey-based Sofiane Feghouli scoring in the first half for the Algerians, whilst Jonathan Khadija leveled in the second half. The North African had the luxury of missing a penalty early in the second half when Baghdad Bodija shot at the crossbar but had the last laugh on penalties. Algeria will play Nigeria for a place at the final on Sunday in Cairo. Africa's billionaires and Nigeria's Aliko Dangote and Femi Otedola have promised to give the Super Eagles of Nigeria $50,000 and $25,000 respectively for each goal scored in the semifinal game against Algeria. Ahead of Sunday's showdown, Dangote and Otedola motivated the Super Eagles with their financial contribution. President of the Nigeria Football Federation, Amaju Pinnick, affirmed the kind gesture from the business moguls at the team's base in Cairo.
So for every goal that you score, he wants you to score 10 goals, so you get $500,000. If you score one goal, it's $50,000. Femi Otedola too, I called him, the same thing, $25,000 for every goal scored.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Of the four teams still in contention for the trophy in Egypt, the Super Eagles of Nigeria have the proudest Nations Cup pedigree. The Super Eagles are three-time African champions, with their last title in 2013. The Desert Foxes of Algeria and the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia each have one Nations Cup championship. The Algerians won in 1990 and the Tunisians in 2004. Senegal's best Nations Cup performance was in 2002 when it finished runners-up to Cameroon in Mali. That was a very big year for the Lions of Teranga from Senegal. They also advanced to the quarterfinals at the World Cup. And speaking of the World Cup, one of our big stories this week on the Sunny Side of Sports was the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team winning the Women's World Cup trophy in Lyon, France. The American women defeated the Netherlands 2-0 in the final. My VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, looks back on the USA's triumph.
The U.S. women's national football team is again World Cup champion for a record fourth time.
That's a world-class team. They're European champions. They've got so much depth. They gave us a heck of a game tonight.
U.S. coach Jill Ellis after her team defeated the Netherlands 2-0 in Lyon, France.
Overall, I think we had the better of the game. Netherlands made it incredibly hard for us. You know, they got numbers behind the ball, looked to transition, incredibly disciplined, strong team, good at defending the box, so that, they presented a lot of challenges.
Those challenges included a new look against her talent-packed team.
They kind of shifted their back line and had some changes, in that. Initially, we wanted to press high into their six. I think once we made that adjustment, I think it was good.
Scoreless at the half, the U.S. women remained confident, as did Ellis.
I said to the players at halftime, I think at some point, it's going to break, and it's going to break our way, and whether that's through a penalty kick or whether that's a set piece or whether that's open play transition. I just felt that we would have our opportunity.
It was a penalty kick that broke the scoreless deadlock as Dutch defender Stephanie Vandergraaft was shown a yellow card for a high kick. U.S. striker Megan Rapinoe coolly sent the ball into the net in the 61st minute. 8 minutes later, midfielder Rose Lavelle scored to seal the win. From there, Netherlands coach Serena Wiegman could only watch the clock wind down.
We would have loved to win this final, but we didn't. Our opponent was better today. So we're second of the world, and I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of the team, and I'm very proud of the staff. And I think we can still improve. And for the first time in history, we also go to the Olympics.
The U.S. women have now defeated the Netherlands in their last 7 meetings by an aggregate score of 24-2. Still, with earning the Olympic berth, Wiegman says her team has a realistic chance for a medal.
We still have an average age under 26. So a lot of players will still continue developing. So the nearest future looks very good.
Rapinoe says the deep experience the U.S. team possesses made the difference in winning a fourth World Cup, twice as many as any other nation.
We leaned on our experience this entire tournament. We had some incredibly tough games to play, games where didn't play that well, games where we were under the pump, points in different games where it was very difficult, a lot of media attention, a lot of pressure, extremely difficult teams that we had to play. Our run through the tournament was very difficult.
Megan Rapinoe and her teammates have been clear through the entire World Cup that they want another victory. Equality with the men's national team.
I think everyone is ready for this conversation to move to the next step. I think we're done with the are we worth it? Should we have equal pay? Is the markets the same? Yada, yada. Everyone's done with that.
Netherlands coach Serena Wiegman agrees women have come a long way in the sport of football, but not far enough.
In earlier times, women were not accepted in football, and now they're more accepted. But actually, women are a little behind. So if you would play a game, it's 1-0 or 2-1. And we need to, when you're behind, you need to work harder to get it equal.
She says the drive for equality extends to the youngest of players.
Now we have situations and better facilities for girls, but it's still not the same as boys. Many, many people are working on that. Many people with a lot of passion. But I think that now we have to build on a structure that we will never, ever quit women's football and youth football for girls.
Megan Rapinoe says this Women's World Cup puts to rest any doubt the women's game needs to be elevated.
We put on, as all players, I'm saying, every player at this World Cup, put on the most incredible show that you could ever ask for. We can't do anything more to impress more, to be better ambassadors, to take on more, to play better, to do anything. It's time to move that conversation forward to the next step.
The success of the U.S. women's national team has been impressive since winning the first Women's World Cup in 1991. The 1999 team brought a groundbreaking wave of enthusiasm for the sport. 16 years passed before the third title in 2015, and now consecutive trophies. Megan Rapinoe says the formula for the team's success over the decades has been simple.
For us older players especially, to be able to carry a lot of that load and just set the right example for the younger younger players is absolutely a huge reason why we've been so successful. And we learned that obviously from, you know, the Abbeys and the Christies and, you know, the Mias and Lilies and all of those players of how to integrate, you know, sort of the younger players and just let them kind of enjoy it and sort of carry them along through the process. But I think that there's no team that is more battle tested in knockout stages to move on to the next stage. And that's kind of what this team is all about.
While the U.S. men's national team has never won a World Cup, U.S. women's coach Jill Ellis says the men remain just as committed to winning.
I think the men's game has been established for 100 more years. So I think in terms of, you know, the development of our programs in our country, you know, we've got players now, young players playing overseas and playing abroad. And I think it's only going to help the development of our game. I have no doubt, because what's common is the American spirit. And I think that's whether it's male or female, I think they both teams embody that.
Ellis didn't get a congratulatory call from the president, but one did come from someone she regards with much more authority.
I think that's me. It's probably my mother FaceTiming me, so excuse me one second. It is, Mom. Sorry, can't talk right now. All right. Sorry about that.
No apology necessary, Coach. That's Jill Ellis, the head coach of the world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy Women's World Cup package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Let's take a break now for these VOA programming announcements.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to PCUSA@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music, and Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More African football news now. After back-to-back qualifications for the Africa Cup of Nations finals, Ugandan officials say their next big target is the 2026 World Cup, which will be hosted by the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Magumi Davis Rakawenj reports from Kampala, Uganda.
While addressing journalists this week, Engineer Moses Magogo, the head of Federation of Uganda Football Association, or FUFA, said we work with sponsors, government, and soccer fans to ensure that the Uganda Cranes qualify for the 2026 World Cup.
Our objective right now is to go into plans and strategies to ensure that we are able to qualify for the World Cup in 2026. We'll enter teams of the junior teams and the senior teams in competitions available to compete. Because for us to be ready, we must have competed in various competitions for the junior teams and senior teams.
Magogo says Uganda soccer teams will in the meantime participate in regional and international tournaments as part of preparations to compete for the World Cup 2026, including qualification campaigns for the Qatar 2022 World Cup.
We were able to play against the best players on the continent, if not the world. In the second round, we were able to play against the best team on the continent at the moment, and that is Senegal, with the best players on the African continent. For us, that was a very good opportunity to measure our progress to where we are coming from and where we want to go. If we are playing the best teams on the continent and they are also deciding to waste time while playing against us with only a goal, it shows how much respect we have gained on the continent.
The Cranes returned from Egypt after what fans and officials say was a successful campaign. The Cranes beat neighbors DR Congo and drew with Zimbabwe to qualify for the round of 16, but were eliminated by Senegal by a score of 1-0.
We still have a challenge of our players not making it into the top leagues in Europe. We have realized that that's probably the edge that separates us between some of the big teams on the continent. You'll play against Egypt, overrun it in all statistics, but one moment of a certain Mohamed Salah might be the determinant moment.
Magogo's plans be boosted by Uganda's president, Yoweri Museveni, who pledged to increase funding for football activities in the country and rewarded the Uganda Cranes players with $1 million.
We have not yet started supporting you really seriously. The support is still small, because we have been struggling with the foundation of the whole society. And foundation means security, the army, the police.
The 2026 World Cup will be jointly hosted by 16 cities. Africa will be represented by 9 countries as opposed to the usual 5. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakanyinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Mugume, and I hope you have a sporty weekend too. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. As we look forward to Sunday's Nations Cup semifinals in Cairo, I know who King Ibu will be cheering for. The Senegalese musician will be showing his support for the Lions of Teranga when they take on the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia. In fact, King Ibu has a song in tribute to the Teranga Lions. Let's give it a listen.
Ari Kamara, Kainé, Petit Bir,
Nem
Them gain Coupe du Monde en Pundam. Them gain Coupe d'Afrique en Pundam. Them gain Coupe du Monde en Pundam.
La fierté du Sénégal.
Senegalese musician King Ibu with his song about the country's national football team, the Lions of Teranga. The Teranga Lions will take on the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia Sunday in the semifinals of the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament in Cairo, Egypt. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Turning to tennis, defending men's singles champion Novak Djokovic is only one win away from a fifth Wimbledon title. The world's number one ranked player advanced to Sunday's final in London with a four-set victory Friday over Spain's Roberto Bautista Agut. The final score from the British capital, 6-2, 4-6, 6-3, and 6-2. Djokovic will play the winner of the second semifinal between longtime rivals Roger Federer of Switzerland and Rafael Nadal of Spain. The women's singles final will be Saturday in London. American star Serena Williams, bidding for an eighth Wimbledon singles trophy, will play Romania's Simona Halep. Serena, what impresses you most about Halep?
There's so many impressive things about her, I think. Obviously, her tenacity, I think her ability to improve every time, you know, and just to keep improving. Her ability to find power and just can't underestimate her. She's like a little powerhouse. And she finished the year number one twice in a row. And I feel like she's back and she wants to prove that she can do it again.
If Serena Williams can do it again, that is, win another championship at Wimbledon on Saturday, she'll tie the Australian Margaret Court, who won a record 24 Grand Slam singles titles. Meanwhile, Simona Halep is bidding for her second major title after winning at last year's French Open. And speaking of France, Dutch cyclist Dylan Groenewegen won Friday's Stage 7 of the Tour de France. The 26-year-old Groenewegen won a bunch sprint to the finish line at the end of a 230-kilometer flat stage. That's the longest distance the riders will cover in the grueling Tour de France. Groenewegen had a winning time of 6 hours, 2 minutes, and 44 seconds. The Italian Giulio Ciccone retained the overall leader's yellow jersey. The 21-stage Tour de France will end on July 28th in Paris. And that wraps up the July 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, after months of violent protests in Sudan, a preliminary power-sharing agreement has been negotiated between the Forces for Democratic Change and the Transitional Military Council. Sudan in transition on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
This is Science in a Minute.
As a young child, you may have been ordered to eat your broccoli because it's good for you. Well, this sage advice is actually based in science. Past studies provided evidence that broccoli and other cruciferous vegetables like cabbage, cauliflower, and Brussels sprouts may play a role in inhibiting the growth of common forms of human cancer. A new study led by Dr. Pier Paolo Pandolfi at Boston's Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center suggests that a gene called WWP1 produces an enzyme that interferes with the work of a powerful cancer-suppressing gene called PTEN. Working with mice, Dr. Pandolfi and his team found evidence that I3C, a compound found in cruciferous vegetables, can shut down the production of this enzyme that keeps PTEN from doing its job in fighting cancer. The study was published in the journal Science. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Hello! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
More than 1 million Uyghurs, Muslim minority in China, are currently held in Xinjiang internment camps, referred to as concentration camps by human rights organizations and former detainees, while Chinese officials describe them as vocational education centers. Carol Castiel discusses the deplorable treatment of Uyghurs in China. Listen to Encounter this Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, this is Victor Beatty, Managing Editor of VOA News. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
This is VOA News. I'm Jim Burns.